Hello, Spotlight friends. Welcome to another episode of Ave Spotlight. I am so excited to be here for our final episode of Igniting Faith in the Hearts of Teens with my dear friend, Lillian Fallon.
Hello.
Wow, pretty major. And so I'm so excited that she's here with us. We have spoken about media. We've spoken about family. We've spoken about prayer. And we are going to talk about one of the most probably important things to young people nowadays, and it is image perception and particularly style. So Lily, who is the author of an awesome book that she'll share a little bit more with us about all the beautiful nuances of style and how we are all begotten by a lovely God who wants for us to find the foundation of our importance in Him. That was a mouthful. She is going to be sharing all about how we can encourage the young people around us to truly find their identities in Christ. So I'm really excited to have her here. Lily, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good to be back.
Love it. As usual, Lillian, how are you doing? How is everything going?
Doing great. It's been a crazy year. My book came out. So my book, for anybody who's curious, is called Theology of Style, and it's all about how personal style and St. John Paul II's theology of the body coincide. And I wrote it to try and help young girls and women to understand their worth and how they can express their style authentically and express the body-soul unity that they were made in God's image. So yeah, that's how I'm doing. I've wrapped up all like my PR stuff with that, but I'm excited to be chatting with you, like the last little interview.
I love that. Well, Lily, for everyone, I keep flexing between Lillian and Lily. So for those listening, Lillian and I have been friends for many years, and so I'm very familiar with her. But for everyone listening, would you mind sharing just a little bit about yourself to all of our listeners?
Yeah, so I currently live in Pennsylvania. I used to work in the fashion industry in New York City. I worked as a style editor for about 4 years. And then I also worked a little bit in the mainstream fashion industry at a designer label. And I did go to Ave Maria University prior to working in New York City. And that's where I met Chanel. And that really laid the foundation of my understanding of the human person, which then informed my understanding of personal style and fashion. So that really became my mission. And I decided to leave the fashion industry and start pursuing the mission that became Theology of Style, the book. And I, you know, wrote for a couple years and I decided to move back to my hometown. And yeah, so now I live here. I've got two cats and I live in my dream apartment and things are good. That's me.
Look at that. She's living. So Lily, thank you so much for sharing that with us. On this series, we are talking all about how we can ignite faith in the hearts of young people, whether that means that we work in ministry or there are just young people that are really important to us. And in previous episodes, like I shared in the beginning, we've spoken about prayer, we've spoken about media, we've spoken about as a family, how you can really help encourage faith. And I think it's really important to talk all about image as well. So image, obviously, very important to young people as well as older people, but especially in those impressionable years, there's a lot of image concerns and a lot of image efforts. So firstly, I would love to just hear from you. When you were young, kind of what did self-image mean to you? What was the perception that you had of yourself in regards to how you were perceived by other people?
Yeah, when I go back, I think back to when I was in the third or fourth grade, my perception of self and how I was perceived by others was not the best because so I came from a homeschool background and I went to Catholic school for the first time and we would have those dress down days and I would be in kind of like my hand-me-down clothes and then I would see the cool girls in their limited two clothes and I just remember wanting so badly to be like the other girls and that if I looked like them, if I had the same clothes, that then I wouldn't be an outsider anymore. And I just so badly wanted to fit in and to be considered one of the cool girls, a part of the clique. And I ended up going back to being homeschooled. But I think that throughout all of our lives, there's times where we really want to fit in. And I think that kids, teenagers, feel that most profoundly, especially if they're in any sort of public schooling or private schooling environment. We naturally want to be accepted and liked and admired by our peers. No kid wants to be the outsider, the weird one, the gawky one. We just want to be pretty and cool and liked. So I was really blessed to actually be pulled out of that school. And I was able to develop my personal style throughout the next, you know, few years when I was in middle school and high school. And I ended up going to thrift stores a lot. And thrift stores are very popular now amongst Gen Z and Alpha, which is, you know, the up and coming generation. I remember my mom really emphasizing my creativity and my uniqueness and telling me that, you know, I'm a unique human being. Like, why not dress that way? And encouraging me so much when I would put together my kooky outfits and having fun with that creativity. And she would support that so long as it was modest, of course, because I had plenty of arguments with my mom about too tight jeans and stuff like that.
As we do.
So many stories. But she would even buy me fashion magazines. This was before, like, fashion magazines now have a lot of stuff in it that I think most Catholic moms would not want to provide their children. But back when I was a teen, a lot of it was just pure creativity and really cool spreads and editorials. And I would copy those outfits, or it would make me think, how can I look unique? And my mom really supported me in that. So I wasn't trying to fit into the popular kids group anymore, but my mom really spoke to me about how I was an individual. And that has very much made me who I am in a lot of ways, because when I, you know, as an adult, personal style really was about being an individual, one of a kind. And of course, I had my ups and downs with trying to fit in with different groups and stuff, like in New York City and whatever.
Fair.
But anytime somebody asks me about how I can help their daughter grow in self-esteem, or the whole modesty question is a big thing. Like, anytime I tell a mom or anybody that I give talks on personal style and I worked in the fashion industry and I'm Catholic, the first question is always, how do you talk to young girls about modesty? And I always say, emphasize their creativity and their individuality first. Bring them to the thrift store and tell them to find items that really speak to their individuality rather than things that are trendy.
Absolutely love it. And that actually leads into my second question for you, which was, okay, so then a young person is saying to themselves, I'm being perceived in a way that I don't necessarily love, and I want to be perceived differently. And first thing that you see when you look at someone is their style, right? That's the first thing that you notice. And so I know in your book, you spoke about John Paul II and how, you know, all of us are created to know, love, and serve God and to be in communion with each other. And that's like the foundation of our creation. It's beautiful. If a young person comes to you and says, all right, Lily, you got me. I know that my foundation is in God. I know that he loves me. I know blah, blah, blah. But I also want to look cool and I want to be cool. And how do I do that? How is being perceived as someone that looks cool and is kind of fits in? How does that work with also having faith and knowing that, you know, ultimately your whole worth like lies in your relationship with the Lord.
That's the cool thing about personal style and really developing your own unique look, because you don't need to conform to what's trendy and you're not playing by the rules of the pop culture where you have to be wearing XYZ item in order to be relevant and fit in. when you develop your own look, people take a step back and they're like, oh, wow, this is really different. You're different. And it, what you're wearing reflects something unique about you. And so I think first off, if I'm talking to a young kid and they're like, I want to still look cool, but I'm also Catholic. How can those two things go together? Your personal style, when you're developing that and you're wearing things that are creatively expressive, those are always going to be so much cooler than whatever's trendy right now on TikTok or whatever. Mm. God delights in your creativity and he delights in your authentic expression of self because he made you the way that you are. And the whole point of personal style is trying to find garments that visually express how he made you. I've talked about it's like finding a match for your soul in terms of finding a garment that matches your soul. So I have some Hawaiian shirts that as soon as I have seen them on the rack, like I was at a vintage fair and I saw a Hawaiian shirt, a blue Hawaiian shirt. And immediately I was like, oh, that is so me. There's something so me about that. And it's, that's the cool thing about style is that you can go shopping and a random garment can be just be so descriptive of you. And I think we've all come across items like that when, you know, say you and I are shopping and you pull out something and you're like, Lily, this is so you. There is something that is tangibly expressed in a garment that does express the intangible of who you are. And that is such a fun and exciting thing to explore in the way that you dress. So God loves that. When he sees you wearing things that express how he sees you and that he sees you delighting, or when he sees you celebrating how he made you, he cherishes that. It's the same as any parent would if they see their child, you know, putting on something that they love. So in terms of trying to actually find your style and your garments, because this can all sound very cerebral and, oh, like just go and find it. People might be wondering how the heck they would do that. I recommend looking at fashion history for inspiration first. And so I recommend watching films from, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. I recommend going onto Pinterest and searching terms that are just, you know, 90s fashion or 70s fashion and start pinning things that jump out to you that you really like, not that what a current trend is telling you to like. And then as you're saving those items and you have them all kind of collected on your board of style that you want to emulate, start making notes of what are the pieces that you're seeing over and over again, or what is it about the style overall that you are noticing, like descriptive words? Is it romantic? Is it relaxed? Is it sporty? Is it casual? Is it classic? And then you'll be able to start kind of gathering a description of your own personal style along with specific garments that you like. Like I'm constantly lately pinning just like big chunky brown boots because I love having masculine elements in my feminine style. I like to balance those things out a lot. So I'm on the search for a pair of cheap fry boots. I also recommend detoxing from exposure to trends.
You have helped me there. Many years ago, I FaceTimed with Lily and we took my phone throughout my closet and, as much as Lily is very encouraging when she's like, if you like it, I love it. If you have an outfit, she's like, go ahead, girl. If that brings you life, do it. I said, you can be real with me. And she was like, girl, you got to get rid of that. It's not doing you any favors. You don't actually like it. You just kind of have it. It doesn't help. Like it doesn't, it's not elevating you. You don't feel good in it. You just kind of own it and to wear it.
Yeah.
Which like you could wear anything, but are you like wearing it, you know? And she was also like, well, also this pattern, like you can't wear it with anything. And I'll never forget. It was like an orange paisley cotton dress that I wore all the time. And I absolutely actually didn't really like it, but I just wore it all the time because it was the only casual dress I had. But it was just such a big moment because we went through my closet and I was like, okay, I'm going to start actually being serious.
Yeah.
So she knows what she says. Yes.
Yeah. Fashion history, going through like what's kind of been historically like well-made and is actually beautiful. A lot of things that are trendy tend to be, especially now with fast fashion, are things that are so of the moment that they can start veering into obscure and like just weird and don't really have any basis in creating a beautiful silhouette or actually, yeah, creating something that is beautiful. It's just kind of like, you know, when we see trendy things that are actually ugly, but we somehow trick ourselves into liking it just because everybody has it.
Yeah.
That's just the essence of trendy things. Yeah. Trying to figure out what are the garments that are timeless, but still expressive and unique. Cause I have my basic items that are basically serve as the foundation of my style and my wardrobe, where it's neutral tones, things that really just fit me well, then are actually pretty plain t-shirt, pair of like light wash jeans. Those are the basics. And then I put on top of that the more statementy items that express my personal style, like, you know, a velvet blazer or something.
Look at that. This is a free consultation, y'all. So Lily, I wish that we had hours and hours because I would love for you to just actually walk through like a here's how we go through, or maybe, I don't know, even do like a live walkthrough of Chanel's closet, which honestly I am kind of nervous about that because I don't know. I bought some things that I haven't showed you.
You've done really well in recent years. So you've developed
a wonderful personal
style. You've really worked hard on it.
Thank you so much. No self-deprecation here. Yeah. Lily's all about lifting people up. But I would love to know, as we kind of close out this episode, what is one thing that you would tell your younger self as you were kind of reflecting on your own image and identity? And then what is something that gives you hope about the upcoming generation in regards to identity and perception? So twofold question, something that you would have told your younger self and something that gives you hope about the upcoming generation.
Yeah. Something that I would tell my younger self, honestly, the JP2 quote, I wish that I knew it sooner than college, which is that each human is unique and unrepeatable, called by name from eternity. I believe that's how it goes. But the part where it's that you are unique and unrepeatable and called from eternity, that I think would have really changed my perspective on my place in the world and realizing that I am not for this world, and that even though I'm trying to, you know, create my personal style and be seen by those around me and known and appreciated and loved and valued by the world, and even doing that through the things that I'm wearing, like trying to gain attention or whatever, I wish that I had known sooner that I have been known from the beginning and that I don't need to be known by the world to have value, but that I've been known by God before all of this, and that he made me unique on purpose, and that he has called me for eternity, so that the things of this world are fleeting. And even though it can feel so important, especially as teens, that our world is everything. The moment and the where we're at, our school, our social groups, where we want to go to college, where we're fitting in, where we want to work, that can feel so all-encompassing. And the desire to fit in and become this person that is successful and liked in the world. But God has already called us for eternity, and that's what we're made for. So focus on that rather than trying to fit into the world.
Hmm. That's a word. That is a word. And give me one thing that gives you hope for this upcoming generation. If you need time to think about it, I can go first.
Yeah, you go first.
Okay. Something that gives me hope for this upcoming generation is actually something that I witnessed recently. My goddaughter, she's 5. She is becoming a very big little helper, loves helping. Sometimes, though, when she offers to help, it's kind of slows down the process a little bit, as 5-year-olds are. But it's been great because she's really recognizing that other people do things for her and that it doesn't mean that she owes them, but it does necessitate a gratitude. And when you're little, you don't necessarily have gratitude. You kind of just exist and you just receive. But it's been great because, you know, even when I don't know, her parents are awesome at being like, hey, don't forget to say thank you. But it's been awesome because even with little things, I'll like open the door for her. I'll say like, okay, would you like some extra ketchup with your fries or whatever it is? And she's like, oh, thank you so much. Like, thank you. And it's just great because it's like, wow, she knows gratitude. She's learning. Like, she's learning what it means to be grateful. And I think for this upcoming generation, I'm hopeful that as we recognize gratitude more, it kind of changes how we function as a society, hopefully. Yeah. You know, we all just carry a posture of gratitude rather than just like constant receptivity, because that's just not a way to live, in my humble opinion. So that is mine.
I think mine, going off of kind of what we've been talking about, I think with Gen Z and Alpha, sometimes we can kind of poo-poo on this younger generation and how it's like the TikTok generation. And, you know, they're dealing with a lot of really difficult things that we did not have to deal with. I do think that there is something about Gen Z and Alpha where they're just more considerate, or maybe a little bit more, I don't know, like socially aware. And I think that they are more empathetic, which I think is important. And I think that there is more of an awareness of individuality, and that we are called to a greater purpose. And that is when I don't know, even I'm on TikTok, of course, mm-hmm. but when I see videos of these kids, I think that they're trying. I think that they're trying to be good people. And I think that they're trying. And I think that is really heartening.
I love that. Well, Lily, thank you for being on with us. Thank you for giving us your time. You are a rock star, and hope for everyone listening. If you work with young people or you have a young person in your life that you deeply care for or that you know, just encourage them that their identity is rooted in Christ. And, you know, perception is just one of those things. An image is just one of those things. And they can find how they can express themselves in a way that honors the Lord and honors their creativity. So that is the word for today. Creativity is the word. Thank you for being with us, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you guys for listening, and thank you to Lillian Fallon for being our guest. I hope that the main takeaway from this episode was that your worth and your identity is found in the Lord, and that things like your image, your style, etc., are awesome accentuations of who the Lord wants for you to be, which is the best version of yourself. So hope that y'all enjoyed it. I look forward to talking with you soon. Please pray for me. I'll be praying for you. God bless.